Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. With over 30 years in the health and wellness industry, I've realized there's no one-size-fits-all solution for sleep and stress resilience. What affects one person's sleep and ability to handle stress is different for each of us. The stage of life you're in, work and home stressors, and more all affect how your body handles stress and your quality of life. Join me as we explore a variety of tools, strategies, and solutions I've employed with clients over the years in solo episodes, as well as insightful interviews and experts. Together, we'll unravel more pieces of the puzzle, empowering you on your journey to calm nights and strong days. So let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. This is Andy. I am your host. So today we're diving into our second episode of this mini series where we're diving into IFS and how parts play a role in our sleep and stress system. So if you did miss the last episode, I'd highly suggest you go back to it, as that is going to give you a bit of background as to what we're talking about today. So today we're diving into protectors, and I have spoke about them in the last episode and how when we have anger, when we have frustration, anxiety, when there's any kind of a emotion, or we might fight or flee, we may shut down, anything that in our kind of society is deemed as almost like a negative reaction, or we're reacting to something in a certain way that is not, you know, calm, curious, kind, caring, empathetic, then that is usually a protector. Now, that's with the way that IFS, internal family systems, deems them. And the reason that they're called protectors is that, with examples that I gave you in the last episode, is where they're actually protecting you from something. So when my body was having me go down to the basement, dive into these bags of chips and all of these chocolate bars for Halloween with foods that I knew aggravate my gut, when my naturopath had asked me to do something to find the culprits that were stressing out my gut, then it was really, it is a protection. And when we start looking at these from a different lens, it can really make a difference. So let's, one way to help you understand that lens is to maybe understand a bit of the science as to why this happens. So whenever we have a trauma, something that stresses us out, as I said, there's simple examples that are not what we'd look at as being a trauma. Something where I had said in grade five, it might have been grade four, where I had a teacher that kept sending me back to my desk to figure out how to spell a word that had a silent letter. And I felt stupid. And a protector came up in me that day that was going to protect me from having that happen again. And that's not what we would ever define as being a big trauma. Same thing as I said in the last episode, where when I did fitness competitions, I was under eating, overtraining. It was really not healthy. 30 years ago, the information that went into all of it was not at all where the information is today. I'm not sure if it's how healthy it's gotten, but it was not a healthy sport 30 years ago. And that was my first burnout crash. So when these protectors were having me resist going on an elimination diet from the naturopath, it was protecting me. So when any of those traumas happened, when I was overtraining, under eating, had a huge burnout crash, there was a neural pathway that was created in my brain. Actually, take a step back. Initially, your stress system takes a hit. My sympathetic nervous system, my stress nervous system went into a heightened state. When I was competing, it was actually a prolonged heightened state. When I was in grade five and that situation at the desk, it was a small time frame. It was probably 5 minutes, maybe 10. Probably not. It was probably 5 minutes that I was sitting at my desk and going back and forth with this teacher, but it felt like a lifetime. So it can be short little incidences, or it can be something that happens over time, but where your stress system is kicking in. And then this neural pathway is created that, oh, your stress system was kicked in and fired for this situation. And in certain situations, not all, but certain situations where this happens, a certain part of you in your memory with this neural pathway that's created is like, oh, any situation that's similar to this in the future, we're going to protect you so that this doesn't happen again. So that's where a protector actually comes in. And they show themselves as what IFS calls managers or firefighters. So managers are the ones that organize. So for me, I've learned that some of my manager protectors are where I always build spreadsheets. Everything's organized. Everything's in its place. Everything is where it needs to be. I am on time. Things are scheduled. It's to a degree that is not necessarily healthy at times because I can't actually stop and relax. And I've learned that that's a part, that's a protector, that's a manager. So anyone that is trying to control things, the managers kick in when they're controlling. And at the opposite end, sometimes you have firefighters. Firefighters are like you stop eating or you're binge eating or drugs, alcohol, anything that can actually be damaging to you is a firefighter. But we start diving into it and we look into it. We're like, oh, this is protecting you. So fascinating, working with somebody with anorexia, not eating, and had been to all these therapies, all of this, like through her lifetime of dealing with anorexia, it was, okay, you have an eating, what can we do to basically push aside the part that doesn't want to eat and make you eat? And that's where, like, I look back as well in so much of my training and my learnings and things I've done with clients and my training actually as a coach on habits is quite often is we do try to get a client where they're ready, willing, and able. And in a session, they may like, oh, I am so ready and I am so willing. And so they assume they are so able to do this thing, which could be going to bed a little earlier. It could be adding veggies, just even simple things, taking a supplement, the small, simple things. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to, you know, get off my computer. The little things that we know we should be doing to help manage our stress over time that compound. And we, over time with those, sorry, my mind just went blank. I'm thinking back to the anorexia. This is a part that's kicking in right now, which is so funny. There is a part that can actually make your brain fuzzy and foggy and make you forget things. So with these parts, with these firefighters, with these managers is we have these ones that think I'm ready, willing, and able. I really do want to do this. But once you start implementing it, you start getting fought by a manager, fought by a firefighter. So the way that IFS looks at it is instead of stuffing it, like, hey, you have to stop drinking. Hey, you need to start eating. Things like that. You need to stop binging. They actually start diving into why you're doing it. Where is it happening? Where is this? And quite often, that neural pathway that was created was actually when you were a child. And when you are a child, it's not always when you're a child. I know of somebody who had a big one that kicked in when their business pretty much within a week just was not, it was with the market crash in the States, and they had a product business and they were in so many high-end stores throughout North America doing so well. And all of a sudden overnight, the people that they were selling to went bankrupt and couldn't pay them, which means they didn't have money to keep making their inventory, and they didn't have the stores to sell things to as well. That overnight, pretty much their business went from like $1 million run rate, beyond $1 million run rate, to bankruptcy. And so that happened. So it doesn't have to just be childhood. But a lot of them end up being like younger. So mine with my fitness competitions was in my early 20s. And it's still affecting me 30 years later. So because I hadn't dealt with it, but now that I've been working with it and accepting it and finding its story, instead of squashing it and pushing it aside and trying to figure out strategies to, instead of trying to figure out these strategies that dismiss it, we're actually doing is getting to know this protector, getting to be with it. As a parent, we stop behaviors all the time. How often tell my kids, stop doing that. What are you doing? And what I have learned is the more that I stop to learn, how is that protecting you? What is happening? Like, why? What is happening? What are you afraid will happen if you don't have anxiety right now? What are you afraid will happen if you aren't angry right now? And we start getting into those conversations and start to learn how, and it is amazing how it diffuses the situation. So managers are the ones that are kind of controlling. They're the ones that are judging people. They're the ones, if you imagine, they're the ones that are just controlling the scene. The firefighters are the ones that are off, like, I need to numb this. I need to stop this. I need to change it. So as I was saying too, with the eating, the fascinating thing was there were different protectors in place with the anorexia. The one that still fascinates me to this day, because when you dive into managers and protectors and firefighters, is why protectors are protecting somebody in one situation is very different from the other, because these protections go deep. So this one was when this individual was 16 and they found out about anorexia. They actually didn't know that what they were doing was had a name or anything. They didn't even know. It was just something that they were doing for different reasons, of which other protectors, once we dove into, helped them understand as well. But once they were 16 and they found out about anorexia and they had been hospitalized and started reading up on it, their 16-year-old brain read that when you are stressed, when you're in your stress system, your digestion slows down. So when your digestion slows down, it's not healthy for you to eat when you're like in an anxiety or stressed state. So this protector kicked in and had them believe that anytime they were in an anxiety or a stressed state, they should not be hungry. So that was a part of their not eating, because this individual had said to me, I'm never hungry. In fascinating, as we started talking to this protector and as we helped this protector understand the health implications that have happened throughout after 16 years old, what has happened since then, since 16, and what they've learned and what they know, during that session, this individual's stomach growled. They're like, I have not had my stomach growl in years. And now their stomach lets them know when they're hungry. We've also worked with the other protectors that were happening, but this is where we, with IFS, it's very different, because we don't stop a behavior. What we do is we accept all parts. Everyone is welcome. And it's very different to that CBT therapy. And my one son is resisting doing this right now because they did CBT where all of his feelings were squashed. And so it's fascinating. And when you really think of it too, that this protector is often coming from the mind of a child, where their intellectual and their emotional maturity was at a much different level than where you're at now. You may have learned. So for instance, too, this individual with the business actually started another business, got over $1 million run rate with that new business as well. And that first protector though didn't know. So that first protector kept starting to make decisions in that business that were not necessarily the best decisions because they were so afraid and living off of fear. And once we started diving into that protector, and that protector has seen how that individual actually got out of that situation, how they've started another business, all they've learned about business, where they are as an entrepreneur, they were like, wow, I had no idea. And they've changed their role to now be helping this individual with their businesses and their successes. So it's quite fascinating. And when we think of this from a sleep and stress situation, we can bring on new habits, bring in new tools, which I have taught for years. bringing all these new things, adding all these healthy things in. But if we are not working with this manager or the firefighter that is protecting us at times, then sometimes adding in those tools is actually sending a signal to that protector or that manager that we're squashing them, we're pushing them aside, which makes them protect us even more. So we're actually adding fuel to the fire sometimes when we're adding these really good, healthy tools until we have dealt with the protector. So the tools are important. The tools are important. And then if we find that there is a protector, a manager, firefighters, a bunch of them that are having you resist that tool, strategy, implementation for sleep or stress, the supplements, changes in routines or patterns, things that help decrease stress, all the different strategies and tools that I teach and I talk about in this podcast, then what we find is those managers just keep kicking in more. But once we work with them, they come down and then we can implement those tools and strategies. So it's marrying all of this together. So that is really helping you understand your sleep and stress protectors, which has us diving into in the next episode about polarization. So polarized parts are when two parts are opposing one another and actually causing issues where you just want to sit on the couch and watch Netflix and do nothing. And then the other part of you wants to really be at the gym working out, and you're usually all or nothing. You either go through spurts of doing absolutely nothing and being a sloth to being like overzealous with exercise, nutrition, the healthy stuff. And there's not that middle ground. So those are your polarized parts. We're going to dive into those in the next episode. Wait, before you go, if you found this podcast valuable, please consider liking and subscribing. Your support helps others discover these insights too. And if you're ready to transform your sleep and stress management and would like to see if we are a good fit with one another, let's chat. The link to my calendar is in the show notes below. Let's connect and start your journey to calm nights and strong days now. Until next time, sleep peacefully and stay resilient.